guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me one more time on a Wednesday for the Pastor Adams Podcast or devotional, whatever you want to call it. I want to start out with this. Since it's Christmas season-ish, you know, we're after Halloween. I know that we haven't hit Thanksgiving. Some people get upset about that, that Thanksgiving doesn't get, you know, the time that it needs. I don't know. Whatever. I like Thanksgiving, but Christmas way better, if you're asking me. Anyway, but so I reached out to a service to have Christmas lights put up on my house. The way I want the lights to go up. I've never actually put lights up on my house, like around the peaks and all that, because it's tall. I don't have a ladder that goes that high. Number one, in Chicago, it was too cold. I wasn't getting up there. Here, perfect weather to do it. But again, you know, I just don't have the equipment to do it. So what I wanted was the peaks, windows, higher up, that sort of thing, to get done. And I even took a picture of my house, the outside, and then I drew on it where I want the lights. Doesn't look that crazy of a job, right? So I sent it off to this company and got in touch with the guy. He's like, yeah, I'll come out and do a quote and be no problem. I got there when he was, you know, measuring all that kind of stuff. And he was talking about he's got these clips that just go underneath the shingles and all this stuff, and he puts everything up and then takes it down when it's done. You know, we're not talking about permanent lighting that stays on the house year round, which would be cool. I'm not saying, but we're, this is, you know, I wanted to go a route. This is my first time. See how much it costs, right? Now I envisioned a cost of, I don't know, high end $250, $250-ish, hoping for maybe like $200. And then I'd still have to do some contemplating, like, should I do this? I don't know. So, like I said, met the guy, went over everything. He's like, oh, no problem, the easy stuff. And I got the quote last night, and I was like, I almost dropped the phone. It was $999. I'm like, I can't even believe that that's the cost of it. Again, I've never gotten a quote for anything. I don't really know, but I just didn't think it'd be $1,000. And so then last night, I'm like, maybe I just do it myself. I got to figure out a way to get a big ladder. We have the extension ladder here at church. How do I get it home? I've never done it. What if I fall off the roof? Is that the worst thing? I don't know. But it's definitely better than $1,000. And then late last night, I was going over some stuff on the computer, and I was like, let me just see what's the average cost of putting up Christmas, you know, hiring somebody to put up Christmas lights. Guess what? It's about right. Actually, a three-story house, like mine is two stories, but it has a third, you know, on the roof. It has these peaks, whatever, that's more like, it looks like I have three stories. And they said it could be up to $1,700. I don't even know what to say to the guy. Like, he's going to be like, so are we doing this? I'd be like, no, we are definitely not doing this. Why? Because $1,000? Are you kidding me? Do you know what kind of guitar I get for $1,000? Do you know that? If I'm spending $1,000 on lights for a season or a guitar that I can love and cherish the rest of my life, are we kidding here? So there's that. That was just a kick in the groin, seeing that estimate. But I just thought, if any of my listeners here in the South Carolina area want to come and do it for $200, I'm in. Anyways, this past weekend, last Sunday, we had the church picnic here at Point North in Monk's Corner, which also included the chili cook-off. And guess what? The chili cook-off was popular. I switched things up because last year, the chili cook-off, I had three judges. And they picked the winners. And I was like, I don't know about these winners. You know, I don't know. This year, I went more democratic route. And so we had 12 participants who brought chili. And each person that registered, that came and checked in, they were given a coin. I had a little bucket in front of each pot of chili, and the one that they found best, they put the coin in. And here's where things went a little awry. There were two chilies. You know, nobody knew who cooked which one, except for the people that cooked it. We didn't have a vote. But there was two chilies that were discouraged, I would say, from people trying them because they were hot. One of those happened to be me. And another one was my buddy Garrett. Now, he scared me and everyone beforehand because he put in a Carolina Reaper pepper in there. And I was like, are you going to kill somebody? I've never had a Carolina Reaper. I tasted his chili. Guess what? It was delicious. It was really good. I like that flavor. It was a smoked Reaper. It was really good. Not as hot as I thought it was going to be. And if we're being honest here, I feel like mine was hotter. Not that we're trying to see who's the hottest, but mine had a bunch of jalapenos, serranos, cayenne, a lot of, you know, like spicy sausage was in it. I used a spicy beef broth. For sure, lots of chili powder, all that, and cumin, all that. But I mean, mine had a sneaky heat that gets on you and then stays with you. But Garrett's was good with that Carolina Reaper. I like that flavor. So there was 173 people who actually tasted chili and voted. Maybe not tasted me and Garrett's, that's for sure. He got 10 votes. I got 9 votes on mine. And here's my takeaway from this. Being down here in South Carolina, I don't necessarily believe people know chili. I mean, last year, the chili that won was more of a steak, brisket, type of seasoning and flavor to it. And he told me what he used, and it was definitely a pre-made seasoning that was a pit championship seasoning or whatever. And I was like, but it didn't really taste like chili at all. Okay. And this year, the winner was a white chicken chili that my wife raved about. She said she wants to eat that for the rest of her life, which it was really good. I tried it. But it tasted like a pot pie rather than a chili. And so that was making me think, like, what if I made like steak and said, here's my entry into the chili cook-off there, but that's a filet, medium well. I'm like, I know, but it's delicious. And everybody who had a bite would be like, that's my favorite. It's the best, but it's not a chili. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't feel like people know chili, what chili is supposed to be. So the idea of this whole chili cook-off, this whole judging of each chili afterwards, you know, after the whole event, I just started thinking about this whole judging thing. And it got me thinking about judgment in general as a Christian judgment. See how I'm trying to tie this all in, because we got a crazy topic we're going to talk about. In that same day that I'm thinking about judgment, I had an interaction with somebody that I had to make a tough decision, and block them from my phone and Facebook or all social media, stuff like that. And this can or can't be confusing, because you might think, how can I walk away from someone or block them from contacting me if I am a Christian? You know, I'm supposed to have grace. I'm supposed to forgive, all those things. And I'm glad you asked me that question. How could you just walk away? And I am here to say, we're supposed to be kind, forgiving, extend grace to others. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? We're commissioned to share the good news with unbelievers, people of all nations. But at some point, you have to be able to stop taking abuse. And as in Matthew 10:14, it says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust from your feet. So, Sunday evening, I shook the dust from my feet, and I'm done. Because living the Christian lifestyle, it requires balance. So let's dive into the main scripture for today's devotional. This is what that everything stemmed off of, this whole interaction that I had with this person and the whole idea of judgment and how are we supposed to use that as Christians. All right, so we're going to read Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So, what I'm getting out of this, as followers of Christ, we are called to a life of love, grace, humility. Yet, navigating relationships in this broken world, it can and will be difficult. On one hand, Jesus clearly tells us not to judge others, as we read that in Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Now, on the other hand, we're also called to live with wisdom, setting, you know, healthy boundaries and standing firm in truth. But how do we live in that sweet spot between those two? So today I kind of want to explore how Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 1 through 6 calls us to live without judgment while also protecting ourselves from, you know, being taken advantage of. And so in doing so, we'll find, you know, the balance between showing grace and standing firm in the truth. So in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Jesus makes it clear that judgment belongs to God, not us. He warns against the hypocrisy of judging others when we too have our own flaws. And the image of someone with a plank in their eye trying to remove a speck from someone else's eye is a real powerful illustration of how we often magnify the faults of others while ignoring our own shortcomings. Have you guys ever seen that happen? You've seen examples of this? I've seen my fair share. Just this past week, our pastor here got a real nasty email just trashing one of his sermons, which was very good and biblical. And that person, we know a whole bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes that I wouldn't say is very biblical. So it's just, that's an example. Jesus calls us to self-examination first. Before we point out the flaws in others, we have to take a hard look at our own lives. Something no one really does, if we're being honest, really. This doesn't mean we shouldn't speak into others' lives or call out sin when necessary. However, it does mean that we should approach others with humility, grace, and a recognition of our own need for mercy. But too often, you know, we fall into this trap of self-righteousness, looking down at others while ignoring our own blind spots. But Jesus' command is clear. Before we judge, we must first deal with our own issues. The goal is to not avoid confronting others about their sin, but do so in a way that is humble and loving, acknowledging that, you know, we too are in need of God's grace. And also, just an FYI, even if we point out others' sin in a way that is humble and loving, and even when admitting that we have our own need for grace from God, rarely does that play out the way we want it to. So do what you want with that little nugget of wisdom. Moving on. So in verse 6, Jesus gives a curious piece of advice, though. Very curious. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. What does that mean? At first glance, this might seem, you know, it's kind of out of place in a discussion about judgment. Wouldn't you say so? I would say. But it's a reminder that while we're called to love and show grace, there are times we need to set boundaries. So Jesus is warning us not to waste our time, energy, or resources on people who are determined to reject truth or mock what is holy. He's teaching us to be discerning in our relationships, and there are times when continuing to offer grace or truth to someone who's hostile or unwilling to listen can be harmful both to them and to ourselves. And that's where I found myself the other day. I had three conversations with this individual, and those three conversations, I was mocked and my faith was disparaged four times. And I just don't have any patience or time for that in my life. And I'm done, you know. I sent a text saying, I hope they find the answers they're looking for. Pray that they find peace. And I also let them know I'm blocking them. So yeah, it's done. I'm through with this. But this whole thing is not about giving up on people, but recognizing when to stop engaging in futile efforts. In relationships, there are times when we need to protect our hearts, and this may require setting clear boundaries, even if it feels uncomfortable. Healthy boundaries are a way of honoring both our own dignity and the person's freedom to choose what they want to believe. And I also wanted to share this scripture, which is usually used to talk about marriage, but I'm confident. I feel good about using it, and we can use this in situations like I had, whether it be friends or neighbors or coworkers or, you know, like I said, even family. So in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, Paul gives us some insight on how we're to live in the world but not be of the world. So he writes, and this is 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What argument is there between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God, he said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be the God, be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So Paul, he's echoing the principles of separation and discernment that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7. While we're not called to judge others or to isolate ourselves, to be self-righteous, there's a clear call to live distinct lives that reflect God's holiness. So we're not to be unequally yoked, whether, you know, that's business partners, friendships, and romantic relationships with those who reject Christ, because such partnerships can pull us away from our calling and from a life of holiness. Now, this doesn't mean that we should withdraw from the world and completely avoid relationships with non-believers. Jesus did. He ate with sinners and showed love to those who were far from God. But it does mean that we need to be discerning. We need to think about how we engage with others and be cautious not to, you know, compromise our beliefs or values in the process. Our relationship should be marked by mutual respect, not by manipulation or compromising the truth. So the question is, how do we live this balance? We're not to judge others with a condemning spirit, nor are we to be passive, allowing others to trample our dignity or manipulate us in any way. We're called to live in wisdom, showing grace, setting boundaries, and standing firm in our convictions. And when it comes to relationships, whether in the church or with non-believers, we gotta ask ourselves a couple questions. Number one, is this relationship helping me grow in holiness and truth, or is it pulling me away from my calling in Christ? Or number two, am I offering love and grace to others while also protecting myself from being mistreated or taken advantage of? So those are the questions we have to ask in these relationships. So as I kind of wrap up this devotional today. As Christians, we're called to be both gracious and wise. We must not judge others with this, you know, self-righteousness, but neither should we allow ourselves to be manipulated or mistreated. Jesus invites us to love with humility, but he also equips us with wisdom to discern when to draw lines in relationships. By living the tension and by living between, you know, grace and truth, we reflect Christ in a broken world. So, yeah, it's weird how we got from chili cook-off right into this whole knowing when to set boundaries, and we're not supposed to judge, but we can protect ourselves. It's a whole lot there. It was a good journey we went on, I think. So, yeah. One more thing before we leave. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm one of the weird people who appreciate the daylight savings in terms of like falling back, because when I wake up at 6:37 in the morning, I like the sun out in the morning. Now, the bad part I noticed yesterday is that when I was driving home at 5 o'clock, I felt like the sun was trying to murder me because there was nothing I could do to see out my front windshield at certain points because I was blinded by the sun. Even with sunglasses on, I was like, what is going on? I had to just drive by faith. Drive by faith in the sun for a good minute. It seemed like that. Maybe it wasn't. It's probably pretty dangerous. Anyways, you guys have a great week, and I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll be right back.